Welcome to your brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends travel throughout time and become old men versions of themselves. As always, I am old man Zach, and joined with me today is fellow old man
Zach
and our Tyrannosaurus possessed by venom.
What?
That's Steve, everyone. Have you never read the original Old Man Logan?
No.
Yeah. So in the wastelands of Mark Millar's Wolverine story, Old Man Logan, not only do you have Banner, who has become a redneck hillbilly mobster.
And has a gang of children.
With his cousin. Let's all remember this. There is also Devil Dinosaur possessed by Venom. Welcome, Steve.
Neat.
That still a great story.
That was wonderful. World we live in, though.
Yeah, that's like one of Marvel's little Elseworld things that happened during the middle of a run. And now everyone is doing an old man story. We have Old Man Hawkeye right now. Old Man
Laura's coming up. We did Old Man Logan twice.
And he's still around. But now, according to the one and only, who is it, IGN? I closed my phone.
It's IGN. Yep,
from IGN, we get an old Lady Harley story. And this news spun outside from WonderCon this weekend.
Which is a lot of the news from today.
Yeah, so IGN reports that Comics Beat reports that the older and crankier take on the beloved DC character and her partner in crime, the Red Tool, are set to appear in Harley Quinn 42, which comes out on April 18th. The issue is written by Frank Thierry with art by Marissette and Amanda Connor doing the main cover. So the story just sounds ridiculous. I was looking at the promo art and I sent a lot of it to you guys.
They did the Max thing where she's on the front of the car with the mask.
Yeah, so it's like Harley Quinn meets Furiosa to the degree that she lives in this post-apocalyptic wasteland where two different cults worship her as this mythical figure. So it's just straight up Mad Max with old lady on it.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that.
Harley shenanigans.
Yeah. I really do appreciate DC will do these like poke and fun tease storylines. Like we have the Red Tool made by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti, which was the basis of Deadpool, who was the basis of Slade Wilson.
Yep.
So in order of mimesis, it just keeps going down. But it's an interesting concept. Harley's been the fourth pillar of DC for quite some time.
Seems like it was pretty stagnant, so this might, like, just for just something new and different.
Well, different.
Not really all new, but
all
something
Harley Quinn.
Something just completely Harley from what you remember, like the golden age, but like the
modern.
Yeah, where Harley was literally everywhere. Seems like kind of a callback to those wacky stories.
So are you saying it's Harley Quinn now?
Oh my god. We don't have to put everything to fucking Marvel's terms.
Well, it's weird because with all the news that happened at WonderCon this week, there was no Marvel news.
Yeah, I could not find a thing.
Well, it's because Marvel doesn't participate in conventions anymore, other than like New York Comic Con or WonderCon, or not WonderCon, like SDCC, or if it's like a Marvel sponsored thing. DC kind of owns the news market during these conventions now. Because you think about it, 2 years ago at WonderCon was Rebirth. So naturally, we get new news with all of that too at WonderCon. Scott Snyder taking the main stage, kind of riffing off everything else that's happening in the world.
Do you think Scott Snyder is becoming the new Geoff Johns at this point?
I would say so.
Like, he's finally branching out from one character and touching the entire Justice League. And he's created a dark multiverse. Like, he's already done pretty much what Geoff Johns did with Flashpoint.
Well, even before that, Geoff Johns reinvented Green Lantern.
True. Yeah, like, with Blackest Night. Actually, that's a good way to put it.
Way like, before that, even.
Even before that?
Green Lantern Rebirth. Why do you think
Flash
Rebirth came out?
Right.
It's because Johns held that title. Like, he and Ethan Van Shriver invented the emotional spectrum. So that's prior to Blackest Night and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
There's War of the Green Lanterns, the Sinestro Corps War, and everything else where we got to see all the different colors. That's why Green Lantern, the animated series, was by far the best DC cartoon in terms of mythology, other than maybe Young Justice.
Young Justice was good for different reasons, though. To your point of mythology, yeah, Green Lantern delved into a lot of that mythos.
It's also the only series that gave us Guy Gardner with a speaking role. Let's just point that out.
Wasn't he in Justice League animated?
Nope.
No?
His first
I thought he was at least in there once.
Nope. He was in Brave and the Bold.
Oh.
And he also appeared in, like, Justice League of Two Worlds. But he was never in Justice League because that was Jon Stewart. Kyle Rayner appeared in the Superman animated series and then made a reappearance when Superman died or when Amazo tore through Oa. And then we also got Hal Jordan during the time travel episode. But Guy Gardner? Nope.
I'm sorry, you're in the minority of people who like Guy Gardner.
Yeah, you know, it's just a thing. But speaking of WonderCon, Scott Snyder did come out and announce new stories from the... So this article that you linked is by Comics Beat. Everyone's reporting on it just because it's just massive bombshells. But spinning out of the Justice League No Justice, we get...
New Justice.
We get New Justice, which is a line that's going to include the New Justice League titles, the Titans titles, as well as I think Hawkman is under that banner as well.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So
pretty much everything new coming.
Yeah. And I don't know if we talked about Hawkman, but Robert Venditti's taking over that title, writing duties. And then Brian Hitch is doing art. So right. It's going to look.
I think we mentioned that last week or a week or two ago.
Yeah. So there are four titles that got announced. You linked three of them in this article. Justice League Dark was the first title announced, and this is being written by James Tynan. It's the only excuse he has to leave
Detective.
There's also Justice League Odyssey, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Cedric.
Fucking balls to the wall one.
Teen Titans by Adam Glass and Bernard Chang. And then we also have New Titans, which was the other title that
was confusing was that I think the Teen Titans is called New Titans.
Yes. Let me pull up
and
the
article. And then Titans is still just Titans. But it's not new. It's still written by Dan Abnett. It's just a new team.
And as they kept doing, like, I was watching the WonderCon video while I was at the gym. And it was just like, every time they said something, I just went, what? And they got hyped. And then what? And just kept getting more and more excited by everything that was being announced.
Yeah, fucking Darkseid is on Justice League Odyssey, like, what? Fucking what?
It's funny just because it's like, with everything else being announced, just all the teams. So with Justice League Dark, which is the one I'm most excited about, it's a team with Detective Chimp, Zatanna, Man-Bat, Swamp Thing, and others that aren't appeared on the cover. And it's being led by Wonder Woman, so it's really cool to see her actually go back to the mystic realm of things. Then you have Justice League Odyssey with Cyborg, Starfire, Azrael, Jessica Cruz, and a younger Darkseid.
Probably the Darkseid from the Wonder Woman arc.
And Snyder joked around saying that when he was planning these flagships, he originally wanted to call it Justice League WTF. So they're going to explore the universe in Brainiac's headship with flames painted on the side.
Fuck
nice.
Then you have Snyder's Justice League, which is the roster.
The animated series roster, essentially.
Yep. And they're going against the Legion of Doom, which is super pumped. And then I really enjoy the new concept that Titans is going along the lines, which is Justice League's AAA farm team, as described by Snyder. And it's Nightwing and Raven leading the team with Beast Boy, Steel, and Miss Martian.
I'm so fucking excited because, like, we haven't seen any hints of Miss Martian or any whereabouts of Miss Martian in the freaking DCU in the last, I don't know, 2 years.
It's just going to be them talking and then all of a sudden, Miss Martian, oh, hey, she's here.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's make a new team.
She was originally part of the lineup when Ben Percy and John Boy Myers were doing concepts.
Right, I remember that. And everyone was like, oh, this looks so fucking cool. And then John Boy Myers left.
Yeah. And then the last title Teen Titans is actually keeping its name with issue 20. And it's going to be Kid Flash, Red Arrow, Robin, and then three new characters feature. So there's Jin, Crush, who's the daughter of Lobo, and all of her concept art was done by George Jimenez of Super Sons fame. And then crap, what was the last character? Headshot? Crap. I can't remember his
name.
I can't remember. Three brand new characters written by Andrew Glass, who's also doing the Titan special.
That's is it Andrew up. Glass or Adam Glass?
Adam Glass.
I was going to say, I think you called him two different
things. Roundhouse is the last character. So people are like, oh, it's bald, or it's blue gold balls. It's not the only character that's being drawn over to the DC universe.
Right.
Other than Bendis.
I'm really intrigued by a lot of it. Like, I'm curious of where this the new Titans is going to go. It feels like a lot more of the... It's kind of weird. It seems like it's going to be more of a, like Snyder said, a AAA farm team. It seems like a mini Justice League almost. Mm-hmm. Instead of like that outcast group that just wants to do their own thing.
I'm just sad we're not going to get the Tiny Trinity.
No more Tiny Trinity.
I'm so upset that the Teen Titans is not Superboy John, Damian, and Maya. Or even... Lucy from Superman.
I'm cool with Emiko finally showing up again. I'm cool with Emiko showing up.
Yeah.
It's just like they almost... It looks like they aged her up a bit, though, which is kind of weird.
I think she's supposed to be 16.
Yeah, but I mean, in all the other like incarnations of her, she actually looks like she's 16. This, she looks more like she's 18, 19, maybe.
Maybe it's just part of the time skip.
Is there a time skip?
Who knows? You don't know what happens in Snyder's Justice.
I don't know what happens in Snyder's Justice League.
I think the coolest thing, though, between all of these titles, I think except for Teen Titans, is that they're all operating out of the Hall of Justice. So Snyder on Twitter this weekend has been saying that if this is the last thing he ever writes, he wants it to be his magnum opus. It's that everything that he's ever wanted to write, and he wants to touch every single corner of the DC universe.
Why do I get the feeling that everything that Snyder writes, he plans to just go down as his magnum opus?
Because that's the way you do it. You want everything to be above everything else.
You have no duds.
Sorry. Got my Crash Mountain Dew. I needed to open it.
I mean, I'm looking forward to the whole new Justice thing. Like, all of it's super cool. I'm super excited that we're getting even more magic back into the DCU. I feel like that's something that they've been trying to get back. And now that we have, like, a mainline Justice League title again for it, mm-hmm. I think that'll help. Like, they always drive it in a new cool direction.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, there's the joke that DC had my wallet. Now DC is just like the bank
first
teller.
They like asked for your wallet and you would give it to them. Then they had their hand in your pocket. Now they run your bank account.
It's like, hey, can we have some money? Hey, you're giving us money, right? Where's our blank check?
Also, one big thing too that came out of this weekend is that, according to Newsarama, Brian Hill also has a story that's going to be a spinoff of his detective run. So everyone's kind of like, okay, so he's writing Detective Comics for one arc. So Tomasi's probably going to take over. Everyone's crossing their fingers here. But the big thing is like, he's writing Black Lightning specifically. That means probably motherfucking Outsiders.
Hopefully. Yeah, they could be doing that.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking just a pure Black Lightning title with the show going on.
He has a mini going on right now.
Okay. I don't know. It was just... We still haven't seen anything from Milestone.
We never will.
I was going to say, are they going to introduce Static in that? But probably not then, if that's the case. Because wasn't Milestone just still going to stay in its own world anyway?
Earth M.
Right, so we wouldn't have seen that anyway.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's been, or at least a lot of people are thinking it's going to be an Outsiders title because the
seems reasonable.
First issue of Metal, or during like the Forge and the casting, had Batman saying, yes, I've gathered a team of outsiders who have done all this work. So it's like, man, we get Black Lightning, Robin or Nightwing was also part of that team, Red Arrow's part of that team, Geo-Force. I'm naming all of the C-listers. There's the one character that shoots Rainbow
Wasn't
Light.
Wasn't Wanna Beast on the Outsiders?
Nah, he was a Justice League member. Excuse you. How dare you?
I forget the lore of
Wannabes. B-list
character like that. Apparently, there was also a coming-of-age drama about teenagers growing up in the Midwest called The Outsiders, based on the famous novel by S.E. Hilton.
Yeah. Stay golden, pony boy.
Yeah. Such a great book.
It had Ralph Macchio. It had Thomas C. Hall. Emilio Estevez.
Before he went crazy?
I want to say Paul Rudd, but it's not Paul Rudd.
Not Paul Rudd.
It looks like Paul Rudd.
For some reason, Paul Rudd pops in my head, but I know he wasn't part of the cast. Outsiders.
Who looks like Paul Rudd other than Paul Rudd?
Rob Lowe, that's who I was thinking of. I don't know why I went to Paul Rudd instead of Rob Lowe.
It kind of it's
not
the
looks, it's just some weird connection.
It's a little weird.
Also, was C. Thomas Howell, not Michael C. Hall. That's right. Dexter.
Some other great characters that you may not remember from The Outsiders.
That's right, Patrick Swayze. Was
Freight
there.
Train.
Not
Grace. Yeah,
nope.
Halo.
Nope.
Katana. We all know Katana. Yeah. Looker. Metamorpho, who's now in The Terrifics.
Okay.
Olympian.
Nope.
Red Robin.
Yes, obviously.
Thunder.
Nope.
Owlman. Like the good Owlman. He's Roy Raymond.
I'm thinking of Ray.
Former members include Alfred, Arsenal, Atomic Knight, Batgirl, Captain Boomerang Jr., Captain Marvel Jr., Catwoman, Creeper, Dervish, Dr. Light, Eradicator, Faust, Francine Lee, Green Arrow, Huntress, Indigo, Jade, Martian Manhunter, Nightwing, Remac, Shift, Starfire, Technocrat, Terra, Windfall, and Wild.
Huh.
Oh, that's right. Tom Cruise is also in The Outsiders.
Meanwhile, yes. In that version of The Outsiders.
Not Alfred. Tom Cruise.
And Diane Lane.
My favorite piece of The Outsiders by S.E. Hilton trivia is that Miley Cyrus's brother has Stay Gold tattooed across his knuckles.
Did you also know that S.E. Hilton herself was in the movie?
Yep.
She played the nurse.
Interesting.
That treated Pony Boy.
Have you ever read it?
No.
You should. Or watch the movie. The movie is a great adaptation.
Very good adaptation.
We read it to all of our troubled youth when I was teaching in Greeley.
Okay.
We read it in middle school. It was one of the required. The two books in middle school that I actually loved reading, which I hated all the required books except The Outsiders and The Giver. Best books.
Giver's great.
Even the movie was not bad. It got a little weird when they introduced the flying battleships.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it is almost a direct adaptation.
See, again,
what weirded me out about the Giver adaptation was I never pictured it as like a sci-fi world.
I kind of did, just because of how they explain everything. You know, everyone's in these communities. They're genetically modified before they're even born. So everyone sees in black and white.
See, and that's what pissed me off about the movie, is that it wasn't in black and white until...
Yeah, right.
Like, again...
Until he actually learns what color is.
Yeah, the first color fucking amazing. Red. And then they just do red. I mean, come on. There's a black and white version of Mad Max that is absolutely beautiful and stunning.
Which is bizarre, since the movie's so saturated with color.
Yeah, and that was just like all After Effect too. Like, the black and white filter made everything just like way pretty, like super. Just, I can't even describe how I feel about watching that movie, because I just really like Fury Red.
We'll say Jeff Bridges was great as the Giver.
Jeff Bridges.
Although it was really weird seeing Taylor Swift as his former
Taylor apprentice. Swift, isn't it?
Oh, really? Yeah, she was the apprentice before the main character, and there are holograms of, like, them doing class together, and it was Taylor Swift, and then she went insane, and then they killed her.
Weird.
Speaking.
Because she couldn't handle Green Arrow. The abilities of the Giver.
Yeah. Speaking of the Giver, someone gave Shauna Benson and Julie Benson creative control over on Green Arrow, which is really cool.
I did like most of their, like when they expanded the cast for Birds of Prey, I really liked like all the character interactions, especially when it's like, we have to go save Nightwing, and then, or even save Black Canary. I feel like they're going to be a really good team on that. Mm-hmm. And also, what happened was true. Brian Michael Bendis came over to DC. Alex Maleev is coming over, but he's only doing covers for Green Arrow for the moment.
Right.
While he's doing stuff for Jinx World.
So still pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see all the change-ups.
Yeah, and they already have experience writing Black Canary, so, and they've already stated that, yes, Black Canary is going to be a big part of the story. So.
And that was the first thing wrong with everything in the new 52 Green Arrow.
There was no Black Canary.
There was not enough.
Because Green Arrow without Black Canary is kind of boring.
Three issues I read were not okay because they didn't have Black Canary.
It doesn't, that, the new 52 Green Arrow does not get anywhere good until Jeff Lemire shows up. And then he made it all better.
Which is kind of tragic because the guy who wrote the first arc, or first couple arcs, was
Judd Winnick.
Yeah, he wrote the amazing series Under the Red Hood.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's written good stuff. His Green Arrow, not so much.
Yeah.
Kind of bad.
Yeah. Speaking of bad writers, I mean, I'm totally kidding, of course. Frank Miller is developing 5 new projects with DC Comics, which is totally bizarre. So according to Newsarama, one of the 5 projects is Superman Year One, a previously announced project drawn by John Romita Jr. that will be published through the Black Label imprints. The second story is a collaboration with artist Ben Coldwell with an original graphic novel starring The Dark Knight Returns' Carrie Kelly.
And there's concept art on this article from Newsarama. And if this is the art they're actually going with, it looks totally like it's okay for freaking kids.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but it's Frank Miller.
Yeah, but it's going to be imprinted through DC Ink, and that's why it's a collaboration.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense then.
Yeah.
God, that's so freaking weird. Frank Miller writing a children's book.
Not children's.
Well, the Ink label's supposed to be for younger readers, though.
Yeah, so Jim Lee goes on to say, Frank Miller is an absolute visionary. He continues to push the boundaries of storytelling, and I can't wait for a new generation of fans to meet Carrie Kelly. Joining Frank as a collaborator on Carrie Kelly is one of my favorite artists, Ben Coldwell, a singular talent who brings his stylized, clean line and rock-solid, playful storytelling to this project. We couldn't ask for a better creative team. And then Miller goes on to say, I'm psyched to continue my partnership with DC. Developing Carrie Kelly Project and the Superman Year One with Dan and Jim has been a dream. It's thrilling to have Carrie Kelly take the center stage for the first time.
I really love this art.
And the energy that Ben is bringing to her is new and different. It's incredible to see. It's also fun working alongside John on Superman Year One. This project is a childhood dream come true for me. So,
and the other 3 projects have not been announced.
It's totally bizarre to hear that he has 5 titles coming out. Like, again, I enjoy Frank Miller. He is an absolute creative person, and he really pushes boundaries when he writes stories. But to see him go from something Black Label to DC Ink, like DC Zoom is the kid label. Right. DC Ink is like the middle grade area.
I gotta say, I love the art. If this is what they're going with.
Like for Carrie Kelly?
Yeah. Like, it's super adorable, super high color. I love just the style of it. But yeah, it is freaking bizarre that it's Frank Miller of all people doing a young adult book.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like Frank Miller, it's like, yes, he pushes the boundary, but you can tell when things just don't land. Like, it's very obvious in his writing.
Well, a lot of DKR3 was actually Azzarello, like, pushing. Like, to do the Dark Knight title, they had to use Frank Miller, bring him back in. And it's, like you said, it's really interesting to see how these things really blend and come together in an interesting way. I'm excited. I love Carrie Kelly, and I'm sad that there's 4 volumes of literature that feature her, because you have Dark Knight Returns, Dark Knight Strikes Again, Dark Knight 3, and then Batman and Robin by Tomasi and Gleason after Damian died and Carrie was like this weird supporting character. Mm-hmm. Like, they built her up to be something, and then nothing really happened.
No, bring Damian back.
Well, everyone wanted Damian back, so that's a big thing.
But yeah, I get again. It's I'm intrigued to see like what DC does with all these new projects. Like they're definitely not like staying stagnant with like, yeah, we have all this great Rebirth stuff. Let's just let it keep going. You can kind of tell that like people were kind of getting a little bored with some things. Oh my God, what was that?
It's an ad.
Ad. Because I mean, I was starting to feel it a little bit with a lot of the stories I was reading. I'm like, it's not bad, but it doesn't have the same impact that it did a year ago. So I'm glad they're starting to do some refreshes here, not necessarily like relaunching everything.
It's like all a right, fresh start initiative of some sort.
I know. It's like let's start with the Justice League. It's like yeah, Justice League could definitely use some revitalization, and Snyder had the perfect opportunity with the Dark Universe and. Now we got freaking Brainiac involved.
Especially that they gave a break between Brian Hitch's run and Snyder's run. So it could like fall flat for some people. Or not fall flat, but just like Christopher Priest was like the ginger in this situation. Just like cleanse the palate, bring something new and different, and then go balls to the wall with Snyder.
Yep.
What do you think, Steve?
Sit well now.
We're recording really late.
It's not that late. It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
For really someone who late. Doesn't have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, you know.
Speaking of someone who does have to go to work tomorrow and has to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's late.
Speaking of someone who's going to bed early and going to the gym at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have to go watch Pacific Rim tomorrow. Also, I don't know if you found this, but according to CBR, at the WonderCon panel during the
WonderCon,
the Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero panel, that they're showing the movie again.
Right.
Warner Archive podcast host D.W. Ferranti alluded to new projects in the works at WB, noting they should be one of particular interest to fans of Batman the Animated Series. Unfortunately, he stopped short of providing any further details at the time.
I mean, that's not surprising. But they're still doing more. I mean, we had the Batman and Harley Quinn thing that was still technically in the animated universe, wasn't it?
Standalone.
Was it? Okay.
So if they do bring,
I mean, they used a lot of the designs with like the Mohawk wing
because it's Bruce Timm
right
directing it. He was like, I made these characters.
It's just kind of like how Killing Joke had similar visuals to the animated series.
Yeah. And unfortunately, with all these things, we didn't get a Aquaman trailer at WonderCon. Mm. And James Wan took to Twitter to talk about it. They did broadcast a Batman Ninja, though, which everyone was like, yeah, that fucking existed. It was batty, for the lack of a better term.
Well, and I saw, I think IGN gave it a 9.7.
Wow. Yeah.
So if I get to keep my 4K TV at school, I'm going to go watch it over there, just so you guys know.
We have two 4K TVs in this house.
Yeah. And don't say, it doesn't stream 4K. The Xbox One S does stream video in 4K.
Yes, it does, and it's about to get updated.
So James Wan took to Twitter under @CreepyPuppet. Hey, friends, I usually do my best to avoid internet noises, especially fabricated distractions, but a teaser trailer going out this weekend was never in the books. Despite what some claim, it's not because of anyone or nefarious reason holding it back. It's me. I am simply not ready yet to share. This movie is filled to the gills with VFX, and the process is as slow and laborious as a sea slug. Yes, even shots for trailers take forever to do. I refuse to put anything that might be constructed as subpar. I know it seems like nothing much is brewing above the surface, but I assure you, we're working nonstop under the waves. And yes, I plan to use oceanic puns / references every chance I get. Crying emoji face.
See, now
I guarantee you they're saving it for SDCC.
That would have been fine if it wasn't for the crying emoji face. That's a cry for help right there. There are nefarious plots behind it.
It's not the crying one. It's the crying laughing emoji.
Right, because they wouldn't catch that. There are tears coming off of that emoji face. The bunny is behind all of this. You think Warner Brothers wanted to get out? No.
Oh, Steve.
There are nefarious plots.
Yeah.
No, I guarantee they're saving it for SDCC. The movie's not supposed to come out until what, November?
What?
Aquaman's not supposed to come out until November, right?
I think so. They're doing reshoots right now. Dolph Lundgren took to Instagram to say he was getting his King Nereus on.
Batman movie.
I'm really excited to watch Batman Ninja, though, guys.
December. December Woo! 21st is where they're saving it.
Okay. That's exciting.
I just found... they got plenty of time to get a trailer out. They don't need to tease it this early.
I just found the best video on all of the internet.
Is it Borg?
No, it's better. It's two men with jetpacks. Caption on the tweet. Okay, so we invented viable and fully functional jetpacks. What do we do now? Samurai fights! And it's two guys in full samurai garb flying with jetpacks and fighting with samurai swords.
Are you sure that's not a Power Rangers episode? Because it certainly sounds like it.
Oh, shit, dude. Power Rangers at WonderCon this weekend was so crazy.
Oh, my fucking God. That's incredible.
Samurai.
Like, oh my God, just going through Twitter, people were like, they gave advance issues out for Power Rangers issue 25.
Those lucky fucks.
The people at Bleeding Cool was like, yeah, there are people in the room crying.
Wow. Like, the Power Rangers panel, someone tweeted about it, was like, well, the Power Rangers panel has now turned into everyone reading their issue of Power Rangers 25.
They had 10 minutes to read the issue. They had to sign an NDA to say they couldn't, like, spoil anything.
It was like the guy at C2E2 got to read Batman 50.
No.
Yeah. And so they gave everyone in the panel, like, an exclusive cover that you could only get during that panel.
That's pretty fucking cool.
And they confirmed the Ranger Slayer. Are you ready, Steve? I've been waiting.
Is it not what the trailer was?
No.
That was Lord Draken.
Yeah, Lord Draken was Jason David Frank.
Right.
The Ranger Slayer is another ranger who is in pink, black, and white and has the Sword of Darkness, but it's the Bow of Darkness.
And
I don't know what half of what you just said was.
Instead of calling the person
okay,
the
so,
Ranger Slayer. Oh, no, I don't need a fucking lore.
Back in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers,
God, no. What have I done?
Rita turned Tommy into the Dark Rain, the evil Green Ranger, and to bolster his power gave him the Sword of Darkness. The Rangers destroyed the Sword of Darkness after they freed Tommy from the evil curse.
Or so they thought.
Well, no, this is in a different universe where Lord Draken didn't join the Rangers, so he went evil with Rita. So now they have the Bow of Darkness, which is two Swords of Darkness together that can shoot arrows.
Oh my God.
So it's got to be Kimberly, right?
So the character's name, Lady Draken, is the one and only Kimberly Oliver.
They finally got married.
Because remember, in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, after Kimberly left to do like the World Gymnastics Summit, or no?
I never watched Power Rangers.
Kimberly was a prominent gymnastic.
She had to leave to do like the World Global Gymnastics thing. This? And she had her own adventure in Power Rangers Pink Ranger by Brandon Fletcher and Carl Kerschel.
Power Rangers Pink.
And she wrote Tommy a Dear John letter that we actually see in the show, too.
He actually reads it.
Breaks up with him.
Because it was more for the writers because they wanted to make Kat, the new Pink Ranger, the love interest.
So they had to write her
So they had to way. Essentially be like, we're breaking up, so they made the Dear John letter.
Yeah. So in this world, Kimberly Oliver is married to Lord Draken.
But in the alternate, so the Lord Draken that we saw,
the evil Tommy, yeah,
is Kimberly's husband?
Yeah, or is in this, that universe.
Okay. So they never broke up since Lord Draken took over the world and went evil. There was no World Gymnastics competition that she went to, so I guess she turned evil and stayed together with like, him.
She's essentially just his assassin then,
pretty much the Ranger Slayer. And her Megazord is, what did I call it earlier?
The Gravezord, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
The Gravezord is made up of broken Megazords.
Jeez.
It's got the Tiger Zord, the Firebird, the Red Dragon, the Griffin, and I think that's it.
And to the degree, like, I'm actually kind of excited that you sat down to watch Hyperforce with me for a little bit, and you were entertained somewhat.
It's entertaining. Like, it's a version of DMT, like. The tabletop, yeah, role-playing RPGs are all the rage right now, and they're really good. Like,
yeah, and this Power Ranger one is super incredible. So what's really cool, too, is that Hyperforce even has a two-part crossover with Shattergrid. It's acting as a prelude into it all. But in this world, like the evil Tommy, straight-up murders Billy. also murders Jason as he's trying to take over the White Ranger powers.
Like, he's holding Saba, the White Ranger sword, and it's transferring into him. Draken shows up, kills him, and tries to take Saba.
And that's why Draken's a mixture of the green and white.
Like, everyone thinks, like, oh, Power Rangers comic is going to be stupid and kiddie. And, like, people fucking die.
It's like what they've done with Voltron.
Do you agree?
Like, and Voltron, like, I've watched it, I'm like, I actually need to go and watch this show now. This is really good.
And I know for a fact you would enjoy this series as a comic because it's written by Kyle Higgins.
I'm not the greatest Kyle Higgins fan.
A person suffocates on the fucking moon. Where's that in your Power Rangers?
I mean, the only character that died ever on screen came back to life at the last episode.
It's weird because Power Rangers is known for being cheesy, and this is the complete opposite of cheese.
Like, well, there's a panel where they said, hey, let's go do another set of squats.
Like, I'm thinking about picking up Go-Go now because I got the new one that is the Shattered Grid Prelude, which, in all reality, it's one page that was already surfacing on the internet of the Ranger Slayer with the bow and Finster 5. But after reading, like, holy shit, this is a lot more intense than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so, like, Go-Go, the second series, is actually, like, them as high schoolers and not Power Rangers.
Like, the way it was proposed, like, it's right after they got their powers, but it's them in their high school lives. Okay. So, to me, I'm kind of thinking, like, all right, so it's going to be, like, Saved by the Bell with a little bit of Power Rangers mixed in. Fuck no. Like,
you mean what? Oh, no, I'm thinking the movie was Breakfast Club. Sorry. Yeah. Wrong teen drama.
Yeah, no detention, just high school lives. But it's, like, the first two pages are Rita talking to Goldar, and then Goldar pledges his loyalty to her by taking his sword and running it across his hand. You see blood dripping off the blade, and I'm like, whoa! This was not what I was expecting from Go-Go.
And it's really interesting, too. Like, from what I read of Go-Go, it's, like, very much, you know.
I mean, I will give it that. Like, it's an interesting way to, like, take all this cheesy lore that was built up over the years and then make it this big, huge event.
And, I mean, Mighty Morphin is probably the most amount of cheese you can get other than, like, Turbo. But, like, the later seasons, like, SPD actually had, like, a really interesting story because it was, like, the police force and dealing with mutants.
Is that the Time Cops?
No, that's Time Force.
Well, no, the episode you guys were watching was
in the Time Cop.
The SPD time.
Yeah, but I was telling him, I'm like, yeah, so they traveled back in time and they're pretending to be police officers.
Okay, yeah, then they're from the Time Force Academy.
I just wanted someone to say they were time cops.
No, they can't tell people they're time travelers, Zach.
Except they tell everyone they're time travelers.
Yeah, they went to Camelot.
Lady Guinevere, we're time travelers.
Merlin, we're from a different time.
But shout out to Merlin having access to the morphing grid.
Yeah. Like, Lady Guinevere is a Power Ranger. Sir Edward is a Power Ranger.
Sir Lancelot's a Power Ranger.
He's the Orange Ranger.
Orange.
Yeah, there are Orange Rangers eventually. And then Strawberry 17 or crap, I was also going to call her Megan. But Chloe gets the Battleizer, so her Power Ranger outfit turns into, like, medieval armor instead because Lady Guinevere gave her the stone.
Which, fun fact, first Ranger besides a Red Ranger to get a Battleizer. Again,
all these fucking role-playing RPGs. I just want to play D&D. I just want to do it.
Yeah, but we're, like, role-playing our freaking hearts out in Risk.
Well, kind Steve of.
Turned Russian.
No, I turned German.
He turned German and he had Andre.
Yes, he turned German and I'm the one that's controlling Eastern Europe or Western Europe.
Because if I'm shouting, it's hard to do a Russian accent. Russian is more stoic, kind of
you
monotone.
You
would
still yell in Russian accent. You just
you don't really go up here for Russian.
We'll never forget the day that the Mad Max people, and they're even from Australia, where Mad Max took place originally.
Yeah.
All the race cars destroyed the world. And I fought over Africa, just like the British.
We fought in Greenland once,
and then Max threw it in reverse. It's like, we declare war. Shit, nope. Left the stove on. Beep.
This is awkward.
Beep.
I was so ready. Okay, just so you know, that next turn, I was going to fucking pummel Iceland with my, like, 37 troops I had built up there.
You know what you have to do next game, right? Stay the fuck away from Greenland.
Greenland is mine. It is PUBG Greenland now.
I think everyone needs to stay away from Greenland.
It's PUBG Greenland now.
Just bolster. Zach's on, like, Zach didn't care about winning.
I just wanted to live.
He could have moved to South America.
I didn't actually
bolster
have enough,
more troops.
I could have, like, but...
I was going to say, yeah, don't even say I couldn't. It's like, all right, I get 17 troops, Greenland.
Okay, your 15 troops beat mine.
Well, okay, reverse. My plan was I was trying to prevent Jim from winning because I could see he was going to win. Like, early on, I'm like, once he started to engage you or, like, a turn before he did
you
that...
You could have went from Alaska, go down!
I thought about that after the fact.
It wasn't...
Okay, it was after my Greenland attack. I'm like, oh, shit,
and
Jim's going to win.
You just said you were going to attack Iceland again. And
I was. I was going to try and just, like, a punch towards Jim there because he was pushing through
you
to Africa.
You would have to push through all of Europe!
Yeah, I could have done it.
All of Europe to get... You could have went from Alaska... To Russia,
but then
and
I
go
had to
down.
Engage, I had to engage with Steve first. Then
Steve wasn't anywhere near there. He moved west.
He was still. I was still.
I have all the pictures from that night.
I had nothing. Jim did not
okay,
engage
I,
me. He slaughtered me.
Doesn't fucking matter. Yeah, because I didn't get another chance to do anything. I got my
Africa
one attack. I only have two turns? I think I only have like two turns.
No, we
it was like two
longer.
Or three.
No, we got quite a few go around, but no one
majority,
did anything because we were expanding the whole time.
And majority of the time, it was Jim running through Steve.
Since we now have Manifest Destiny.
It was rough. Also, another fun fact that happened this weekend. Zachary Levi posted a tweet. It's like, fake muscles, fake chicken and broccoli as he's flexing into the mirror. The muscles are padded on the Shazam suit.
I remember when he was a geek on Chuck.
Still the best show ever.
I fucking love
that
show.
And then he
show.
Was on Heroes.
Except the goddamn ending.
He was not great in Heroes because that show was not
Look,
great.
He did the best with what he had. Which when you're handed a steaming pile of poo, you can't do much.
Still a turd. Yeah, you remember the character that was like invincible and can heal from anything? Died in childbirth.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's how Claire Bennett
That's died. How they killed off Claire?
I think so.
Is she the cheerleader?
Yeah. I know it was. They had the whole, like, where's Claire? The building exploded. Meh. She died in childbirth?
I know. Claire might have died in the building. Claire Bennett. All right, you guys talk about whatever else.
But
is on
speaking
the news
of other, we still have a couple other pieces of news. Speaking of other very ripped men, Chris Evans has said he has no plans to return as Captain America after Infinity War.
So and Sam this is from New- Captain America.
This is
Bucky
from Newsarama.
Bucky Barnes, Captain America.
I feel like that's more likely to happen before Falcon Captain
America.
Yeah, because
they haven't even hinted at Falcon taking over.
Well, it would make sense because in the comics, Bucky's the first one to take over the Captain America mantle after Steve dies in Civil War. So maybe we'd get that version of Captain America, and then we also, that's how Black Widow's still, and then we get our fucking Black Widow and Bucky story finally.
You are so set on the Black Widow Bucky story.
It's such a good relationship.
When they have clearly set up in the MCU that they're trying to put Banner and Natasha together.
No, there was actually an interview where ScarJo said that she thinks that Banner and Black Widow are done. They've moved on.
Black Widow has dated every single member of the Avengers other than the one that's happily married. Except for, I mean, there's like romantic hints with Cap, but like...
I feel like they were just more, they were just friends. More
she macked on him only because it was necessary.
Yeah, and then she kind of like flirted with Tony because...
Only because it was her assignment.
Yeah, but it's like, I really want that Bucky Widow story because
it's
that's
one
super
of the
important to me.
It's one of the best Captain America stories.
Brie Baker for life.
Like, honestly,
the guild is ending.
Honestly, I know it's not going to happen, but I want them to go more towards the... new Avengers story, like the where it's all their kids, because that animated movie was fucking amazing.
See it, yeah.
But
I think it's way
have to,
too early. For
that would have to be Cap and Natasha getting a romance, which Cap's got Sharon and Natasha's just wherever. Then you know it's also you can't have Pym because that was Hank's kid, which they've already
right.
They could do it to Scott's
I mean,
kid, but
yeah. They did everything's in the comics once. Until Infinity War drops, like, everything's fucking wide open right now of what could happen afterwards.
Especially since, like, Benedict Cumberbatch of Hotham said that there is no plans currently for a Doctor Strange 2, so people are like, oh, he's dead.
Bumblebee Crumble Snatch?
Could be.
One of my favorite things on Twitter, someone was like, I changed my password. They were all variations of Benedict Cumberbatch's name.
I mean, I feel like the Benedict Cumberbatch name has now gone to Tommy Laron.
Well, oh, God. No, we're not bringing her up. Let's not bring her up.
I just love how she's become a new meme with everyone, just the different names.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, she
sounds awesome.
She posted some stupid tweet, and then everyone was like doing the traditional, like, you're fucking stupid, but then they'd have a variation of her name. Like, one of them was, like, Tammy Licorice, or one was Taffy something.
Oh, so it's like all the really passive aggressive tweets mocking people, or like people's stances on things. That it's like the trend right now on Twitter.
It's like, think of like when you passive aggressively hate somebody and like their name is Bill and you're like, oh, thanks, Bob. It's like, you know their name's Bill, but you refuse to
Bi Felicia approach. It's like, who's Felicia? Exactly. Well, the whole thing of Bi Felicia is like, who's Felicia? Exactly.
Well, that was from the movie. Felicia was a crack whore.
It's from Friday.
I know where it's from.
Yeah. Felicia was a crack whore.
Isn't the whole point of the scene, though, is Bi Felicia is you're not important enough to remember
because she was a drug addict.
Sure. Okay, sure.
No, that's like the thing, like, okay, you're not a middle school teacher, so we had to have a very important conversation with our children who kept saying bye Felicia to each other.
Because by them saying bye Felicia, they're essentially equating them to a crack whore.
Okay. See, that was the part of it I was never told.
Yeah, no, it's... You're not important enough to remember because your life sucks.
Yeah. So, Tommy, the main character of Heroes Reborn, who is also Hero's stepson, is actually Claire's son, Nathan. And Nathan has the same power absorption abilities that his great-grandfather, Arthur Petrelli, had. So during childbirth, Nathan took Claire's powers and she died.
But wow. Nathan didn't take powers. He copied them. Siler was the one who stole powers.
No. Peter's dad, Nathan, took powers.
Peter Petrelli?
Yeah.
Nathan. The one who can copy powers?
No. Nathan, Peter's dad, took powers. Dallas?
Did he take powers?
Yeah. That's why Hero lost his powers. And that's why Peter lost his original empathetic power set, because he was just so OP they had to invent a character to take away his power.
Yeah, because pretty much, oh, I touched you. I have your power now. So he touched his brother, who could fly, touched Claire, who was invincible, touched the speedster.
The time traveler.
He pretty much became like Superman on crack. So they're like...
Felicia, if you will.
He became Felicia Superman. So they had to create a character who like, let's pull the Superman out of this Felicia.
Jeez.
But then they also had Siler, who was like, I can take whoever power I want after I eat their brains.
No, he didn't eat it. He looked at their brain to figure out how it worked.
Oh, that's right.
And then it triggered it in his own brain.
Right, because he was the... But everyone, like, the theory was that he had to eat the brain because they always...
So
he,
I zombie. Was,
yeah, well, his original power was he figured out how things worked.
Like, he worked at a clock shop and one day realized that he could just look at the clocks and see every aspect of them, why they're working, why they weren't. And then I think he hit somebody over the head and saw their brain. And then that kind of triggered the, oh, I can see what makes people tick.
It was the telekinetic guy who was like, I have powers. And this was after, I think, he killed his mother accidentally with scissors.
Yeah. And that's where he got the ability to just kind of point at people.
Heroes was a great show for like the first three seasons.
It was good up until like the last season that the carnival just kind of fucking killed it.
Yeah, and then it was like Brave New World. Claire jumps off a Ferris wheel and dies in childbirth.
Jumps off Ferris wheel. We're here. We're heroes. We're awesome. End of series. And then Reborn. And then she's dead.
She died. She died.
But look at all these other important characters. No one cares about.
Like this guy who was Peter Pan Once Upon a Time.
Neat, I guess. Oh, man.
Once Upon a Time got
canceled. I'm going to skip the thing you added here, and then we'll go back to it. We'll end on Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, it's such a bummer that Chris Evans is leaving, by the way. Love him to death.
Well, okay, it's not confirmed he's leaving, but he says he has no plans to return right now because his contract expires.
Neither did Tony Stark.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr.
Again, no, you mean Tony again, Stark. They're one of the
They
same
could pull one of those, he's not going to return as Captain America.
But Nomad with the fucking deep V.
Or U.S. agents. Or he runs S.H.I.E.L.D. now. Because Nick also Fury, possible. Like, yeah. This is also Nick Fury's last movie.
Who could knows? Be the old, they could go on an old man cap.
But spin. What about Nick Fury Jr.?
That sounds vibrating.
Yeah, someone's buzzing.
Kayla's.
But the last story for the day comes from Kotaku. And I found this fucking fascinating that they did this. So EA's Search for Extraordinary Experiences, or their Seed division, sounds like something out of a goddamn anime.
Gundam.
Or a... freaking Evangelion.
It's a Gundam Seed.
They have developed a self-learning AI agent that has learned how to teach itself to play Battlefield 1.
And will soon teach itself how to destroy the world.
Aimbot. It will teach itself to destroy the world using World War 1 era weapons.
So, from the article, it says, so they tried to find... alright, hang on. Da-da-da. So, Magnum Norton from Seed details how his team, inspired by Google's work at old Atari games, wondered how much effort it would take to have a self-learning agent learn to play a modern, more complex first-person AAA game like Battlefield. So, they tried to find out. The results are an agent that, while inferior to human players, it's perfectly... are pretty proficient at the basic Battlefield gameplay. The agent changes its behavior if it's in low health or ammo, and while more complex behaviors, like knowing the details of each map, are beyond it at the moment, EA has found that while the human player outperforms agent, it wasn't a complete blob by any stretch. So what I find fascinating by this is, yes, the AI could... It sounds more like it's pretty much like standard AI bots in like game... like single-player games, like that kind of AI, not self-learning and replicating AI.
But at the same time, they put in the phrase self-learning.
Well, the way, from what I understand of what they're saying, is it's self-learning based on what's happening around them in the game. So it's going to adapt to, oh, this player is coming at me, so I'm going to run behind this wall here instead. It's but that kind of machine learning.
Has no one seen Terminator?
Well, they haven't given it a freaking... robot suits,
it
so reminds we're fine.
Me, yet.
It reminds yet. Me of how, like, there are rumors that in PUBG Mobile, everyone gets a bot. Chicken dinner in their first game.
Yeah, it's so like real, they're all bots in the first round, and then they just keep adding more actual people.
Let's also remember there was an AI that had to be shut down because it learned too much.
And it was racist.
It created its own language.
But
I don't trust a lot of AIs. Like, Echoes are one thing. Because they have a very set stopping point of you need the human interaction to do things. This doesn't need a human interaction outside of getting shot.
Have you seen the videos? Like,
oh, someone... of the Echoes making like the
no, demon noises? No, of the Battlefield characters just spinning in circles.
Yeah.
It's actually the bots.
Or there was an interaction that a player had with... one of the bots. They didn't know it was a bot, but they just started like moving, and the bot would just kind of like mimic them, and they started learning.
Does no one see this?
But from it, all apocalyptic scenarios aside, what's really cool is this could be tied into single player games, and you no longer have a difficulty mode. It's based on how good is the player.
Oh,
so
fuck. Easy mode the entire time. Yeah,
if you're like obscenely good, it would adapt and make it on that level then.
So it would be like playing Call of Duty on Veteran, and it's like, I am a god at single player, fuck grenade.
That's how Veteran already is.
I'm a god at single player. Oh, 15 grenades, neat. Oh, all on a perfect land that no matter how far I run, I'm gonna die no matter what. Fucking
back
awesome.
Back up.
I don't know, it's an interesting way to utilize or like update like AI bots in
as
games.
A counterpoint. Single player is dead. Bullshit. No one wants a linear story anymore.
Clearly last year proved all that fucking wrong.
What was Game of the Year? Legend of Zelda, which
what
is
was
strictly...
Its what was the runner-up? Super Mario Odyssey?
Which are both open-world single-player games that have a set linear path. They have a suggested path,
and
nothing is forced on you.
And speaking of linear things, I forgot to show you guys this before we came down to record, because I just fucking remembered. But there is a new preview of Steins Gate Zero.
I'm not ready.
Kreese is dead.
I saw it come up. I'm like, I'm not ready for this. And the game's going to be coming to Steam later this year.
And Switch.
And Switch.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
So it's like, do I get it on my nice high-end graphic PC?
You don't need a
or the piece of shit thing that I can take everywhere?
It's a visual novel. I don't.
But don't you want those nice, crisp, clear visuals?
I don't care for a visual novel. It's going to be a 1080p at most anyway.
You're just sitting there, and I just imagine people at, again, my favorite thing is, like, I just wish adult games came out on the Switch, because I just want to imagine a bus of people playing, like, fuck, what was that game? Galgun? Can you just hear?
It is coming out on Switch. Galgun 2 is out on Switch later this month.
Yeah. Can't wait. It's like everyone's wearing headphones, but you look over and people are like,
it's like
crunched up trying to play. It's like, super mode, see those pennies.
Well, hey now, it's called Doki mode.
Also, can I point you to Bayonetta?
But Bayonetta is
an action game.
No, but
it's not porn.
At most, it could be considered softcore. Galgun, that is borderline hentai.
It's not even borderline. You could pay $99 and get everyone's clothes come off. But if you beat the game on hard mode, that happens anyways.
Let's remember, they're all high schoolers.
Ah, Japan, why? Why do you do this?
Meanwhile, in Citrus.
They're 16. They're of age in Japan.
Hey, man, time skip. They become 18.
Oh, no, then all bets are off.
Then they'll be of age in America.
Oh,
it's
God.
Really depressing. The time skip hurts emotionally.
Why are you still reading ahead?
Because it's a 12-episode season. I have to keep reading.
You don't
but
have to do anything.
Every single episode we watch, it's like, all right, now we're going to get through this, then it's the twin arc, and you don't get to see this or this.
You don't see Matsuri. No, not Matsuri. Matsuri? Matsuri.
No, it's Matsuri.
Matsuri.
Yeah. You don't see her redemption. You just have this image in your head forever that she's just an asshole. Dude, I was at Barnes & Noble, and they had manga of Anonymous Noise, and I'm
dude,
like,
it was a second of Charles too. I was looking for pops, and they had like a little cart there putting books out, and the one thing I saw was goddamn Anonymous Noise after the part of where the anime's over.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, this is the music arc, and then I flip through and it's like they play the song, and then you flip to the next page and it's her running off stage in her costume.
Like,
I'm like, oh right, it's a manga.
I grabbed it and I was like, I wonder how far this is in. Nothing fucking happens.
Yeah. No one's together still.
God, I'm so pissed off about it. I tried so hard to find anything redeeming about it.
And you know what the bullshit thing is? We watched it in sub. We had to pay attention.
There was nothing redeeming.
I'm
not
so
even
glad.
Redeeming.
I'm
nothing
so
happened.
Glad
except
I
they joined
that
a
one.
Band and nothing happened like, to any of the goddamn characters except for the main character gaining some confidence.
Like there could be a bad anime and be like, the music was good. No, because it's the same three fucking songs over and over.
And there's plenty of shows that are
and
like,
what
oh,
is that?
This is
Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
There's plenty of shows that are like, this is fucking gorgeous. The rest of it is awful.
We get Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, La La La, that eventually gets music and lyrics to
High
it.
School and Canary.
Which was La La La, that eventually got music.
And lyrics.
I think.
What,
a waste of time.
Do you guys want to talk about a good anime now? With Dragon Ball Super? Since
you know, for the final episode, I really thought they would have cleaned up some of their animation. Like, some of those still frames. Like the Vegeta image at the very end. If you look close enough, it looks like he was made out of Play-Doh. Like Goku looks fucking great.
Oh, so
but
Goku
Vegeta
came back.
Is like,
were we looking at the
here,
same?
I'll pull it up.
I'll pull it up because I don't think we really got the same image. I don't want you to pull up some weird 2-year-old drawing. This is Vegeta. He is the Prince of All Sands.
Hang on. But so Dragon Ball Super had its final episode. Oh, Dragon Ball Super confirms its new arc is coming soon.
Well, that was short-lived.
Fresh from the Nerds for Life blogs. I don't know if that's a credible source to go off of.
Okay, what fucking image are you looking at?
Oh, no, 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 not that one.
You said the final still frame. That's the final still frame.
No, when they're... Here, go talk about the episode while I go look for it.
I didn't watch the episode, so Steve, no, you have to carry this Steve. One.
So it was the end of the Tournament of Power, and by God, was it a good
So, okay, so ending. What happened after Goku exploded?
So Goku fucking exploded, and then he got blasted away by Junior, like, oh my God, no, it's all going to end here. But everyone who's anyone knew, Frieza's still on the stage. So Frieza blasts him back onto a pebble. Like, literally, just a little rock that's like Goku
exploded
sized.
Goku.
And.
Okay, before we. Hold on. So Goku exploded. Is he alive?
Yes. No, it was just so. It was just the energy kind of backfiring through his body. So, yes, he exploded, but he didn't really
Only
explode.
Only his back exploded.
And it was kind of like energy rushing out of him.
Okay, so it wasn't like he's bleeding profusely.
No, he didn't like bleach explode, which if bleach taught me anything, you can explode and lose 15 gallons of blood and still be fine.
Look at you, Ichigo.
But for real, though, he got sliced right down the chest.
So much blood.
And like 10 gallons of blood flew out of him. He's like, I can still fight, let's do it. But anyway, so he got blasted back onto a rock. He's still alive, he's just kind of weak because, you know, all the energy backfired through his body and he had no energy left in him.
Naturally.
And then it's revealed 17 is still alive, which was fucking awesome. I didn't expect that. And so it starts off with Frieza and 17 kicking the shit out of Jiren. Like, absolutely dominating
because
him.
Because he was...
Is Frieza still a god at this point?
He has his golden form.
Yeah, he has golden form. He's still an angel. But they're kicking the shit out of him. And they're about to win, and then, of course, the pep talk from the sidelines of, Jiren, don't give up, you have to fight, blah, 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 blah. And then Jiren starts fighting back, kicking the shit out of them. And then, you know, the one part I have it kind of about, Goku has zero energy left at this point, lying on a rock, pretty much paralyzed, stands up and fights at full power like nothing.
What?
Like, he's able to help reinforce the barrier, saving them.
Like, no take my energy or anything.
No,
like,
he's, like, sitting there like, I have to help him now. Like, you have to help him. Then stands up, walks over, uses his energy to reinforce a barrier they're both using to not die. And then just, they all start fighting Jiren.
It's like, Senzu Bean.
Pretty much, but without the Senzu Bean. And so they're kicking the shit out of each other in an amazing, a visually amazing fight. And who do you think won the Tournament of Power? What one fighter stayed on the...
Jiren, Frieza, Goku, Android 17.
Who's left on the platform at the very end?
Do I go with the obvious choice?
It's Dragon Ball. You have to keep that in mind.
Let me say Android 17.
Android 17 is the last one on the platform. Because Goku and Frieza... They drilled into Jiren and pushed him off the stage.
They tackle him. Like, they're out of energy, and they tackle him.
Like, shoulder to shoulder, Goku's able to use the last bit of energy to go Super Saiyan. Frieza's got some energy going off him, and they just tackle him off the stage. And Android 17 is left. Which is a good ending, because it's not like, look, Goku wins! Woo!
Again!
Goku always, not really always wins, but... Fun fact, Goku's only ever... killed one of the bad guys, and he's never actually beaten Vegeta.
Yeah.
He didn't kill Frieza, Trunks did. He didn't kill Cell, Gohan did. He killed Kid Buu, and of all the fights that he and Vegeta had, he never really won.
He also killed the entire Red Ribbon Army. Absolute genocide. This is why we have Android 21.
Huh. And you know, everyone's Majin Bay.
Spoiler. He didn't even kill Zamasu and Goku Black. Trunks did.
Hmm.
He did technically kill Golden Frieza.
What about Broly?
Canonically. And actually, no, he didn't. Because...
Combined Energy Blast, right? No.
Well, Broly he did like the uppercut, but he didn't die, because he came back in Broly's Awakening.
Revenge.
Or the Return of Broly. But Bio he came Broly. Back. And then Goku, Gohan, and Goten Kamehameha'd him, but he still didn't die. He was still alive, came back in Bio Broly, where Android 18 Trunks and Goten killed him.
Oh, okay.
I guess he killed Janemba in the movie and Harutagon. He's killed movie villains, but those main aren't really series. Canonical. Right. So Android 17's left, and he gets the Super Dragon Balls. The Dragon Balls that the Dragon Balls we know were formed from.
They're the master copy.
Our Dragon Balls are like pebbles off of the Super Dragon Balls.
Okay. Again, the master copy.
Pretty much, yes. But the master copy on crack. Again, the Felicia copy. But, so he wishes for, drumroll please, because we all saw this coming, all the universes to be restored.
Hey.
What a fucking twist, right?
Whoa, no
it's
way.
Like everyone thought, yeah, they're going to win. They're going to restore all the universes. But they did have a nice final, like, montage of all the universes coming back.
Was it over Chala, Hedgehella?
But no, it was the thing is, the organizers of the tournament knew that whoever was pure of heart would wish all the universes back, and if the person made a selfish wish,
they were going to erase everything.
Oh, God.
So, you know what? Android 17 got his motherfucking boat.
Because Bulma gave him a goddamn Capsule Corp yacht.
That's all he wanted was a boat.
Yeah, he just wanted to sail around the world with his family.
It's been so long since I've watched the original Android 17. All I think of is a bridge version.
Still pretty similar.
I have a boat now. Thank you.
No, that's Android 16. 16 has the robotic
voice.
Oh,
right.
Goku's drawn pretty well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
And you have Vegeta. Let's zoom in there. Like, there's...
Okay, yes, it doesn't look great.
Who drew that? Who let that happen? It was the second to last scene.
Okay, you also have to keep in mind that... zoom back out of that to what the screen looks like.
Is the background.
Hang on. And it's the original fight.
Right. So, the detail on that. How do you think they're going to perfectly draw his face?
That's not terrible.
The zoomed out detail.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if I go back to watch actual Dragon Ball Z, I would notice the same things.
Like, yes, at the beginning of Super, there were some very bad drawing. Like, very bad. Like what you would find in, like, the middle schoolers fan fiction. I drew some art to go with this. I'm like, well, I guess it looks like Goku, but...
Hey, man, my middle schoolers can draw. I got an awesome Shikamaru. As I said, he was my favorite character from Naruto. Nice.
Did they give him word bubbles as what a drag?
Yeah.
Good.
Nice. Because I tell him that all the time. I didn't do my homework. What a drag. Detention. Sorry.
Oh, man.
But, sorry. Also confirmed today. I don't remember the source. I saw this on Twitter. But My Hero Academia movie coming out August 3rd.
Damn. Isn't the third season supposed to come out before that?
April. 2 weeks.
So, like most anime films, probably not canon.
I don't know if it is. I think it might be. It probably isn't.
Is he recently reading the manga to My Hero Academia?
I've taken a small break. I'm behind on it, but...
I was going to use your argument against me.
Yeah, I've gotten a little bit ahead. But at the same time, I was ahead through us watching all of it. I knew everything was going to happen. But did I once say, all right, now coming up, you're going to meet this guy, Stain. And then.
Sorry.
They're going to do internships.
And then there's going to be the coolest fucking fight
ever.
Did you
do the internship thing to me, though? Like, it's like, yeah. But now after this arc, it's the internship arc. I'm like, that sounds stupid.
But was it?
No. And you were also like, yeah. Once
you
get past this
world they
were
in?
Sports festival, I'm like, so are they going to play like soccer?
No,
I didn't do that because you watched part of this. You watched Sports Festival with me. You watched the Deku Todoroki.
That's fair. I agree with you. I'm on
your
side.
So you knew Sports Festival, it was a thing. I would just tell you, like, yeah, like this is the point where it leads into Sports Festival.
Yeah. Played Brigitte this weekend.
Oh, she is.
She's fucking hard.
Really?
I can't. Well, okay. She's hard to play around, like, because she's not really a healer. Like, her healing isn't a lot.
But at the same time, is if you're in a skirmish with everyone,
it's some fucking chaos.
Yeah. Like,
I was like, what is happening? Like, I'm just flailing.
Like, I did a medium, like, training session, so it wasn't, like, an actual game. But we had my whole team and the whole enemy team on the point, and we were on the point for, like, 2 minutes of me just going, throw something out.
One game I played today, I was against a Brigitte, Doomfist, and Reinhardt. All three of those charging you at the same time, you have no fucking idea what's happening, because she will stun you. You'll get hit by Reinhardt's hammer. Charge. Yeah, launched by Doomfist. I'm like, what is happening?
Going on a ship, be my favorite death.
So I forgot to mention today, because the show came out, I think it's on Crunchyroll right now, but Maho Sojo Ore.
It's out?
It's out. Episodes 1 and 2. So what happens in this show,
I think there's time for an episode tonight,
is that the magical girls, there's a twist. They have to sign a contract. They didn't read the contract, so when they do their magical girl transformation, they turn into super buff male dudes. And someone, bless their heart, screenshot an image on the good old Reddit. And yeah, here you go. Just take that in. Because that's still supposed to be a middle school girl. But it is like a 7-foot-tall buff dude. And this is how they're getting away with this not being a middle school girl. And instead, a 7-foot-tall buff dude.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So
Japan, why?
It's a still frame of said 7-foot-tall buff dude being grabbed by tentacles. And it shows strawberry panties with field of roses behind him.
Them.
And it says, I haven't even apologized to Sakuyo yet. So if you want to look at that, go on Reddit, user.
And here we thought this show would be a fun time.
Rowan Boys. I'm sure it's a fun time still.
It seems like it's just hella lewd and fan servicey.
Japan.
What the fuck? But I mean, the whole premise is just like, here, let me read the actual story, because it also has like a post-apocalyptic poster. This story is about a 15-year-old girl who is a newbie idol in, oh yeah, they're also an idol, in love with her best friend's brother, who is also a popular idol.
Oh no.
But she runs into a scary Yakuza guy and finds out that her mother was an ex-magical girl, and the Yakuza guy was her mascot. So think Kyubey.
Okay.
Her love interest gets kidnapped by demons that look like burly men with cute squirrel heads. So she signs contracts with the Yakuza to become a magical girl, which in this story means she turns into a handsome guy in a magical girl outfit. On top of that, her love interest shows an attraction toward her magical guy form. Her best friend turns out to be in love with her and also becomes a magical cross-dressing guy to save her life. Thus, their manager, who is a magical girl geek, then decides to turn them into an idol unit.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go watch some anime real quick. Maybe have a bottle of holy water on the side.
There's also another...
God, Satan!
There's one more series I saw.
Y'all need Jesus.
I don't remember what it is. But I'm just like, all right, this is my life. Because I remember this being like, this series is being adapted. I'm like, I like Magical Grandmas. What the fuck is this? It's not as bad as Magical Girl Hunger Games Raising Project, where only a set amount of magical girls can exist. So they have to start killing each other.
Or fucking Madoka. Oh, isn't there going to be another movie of that at some point?
Eventually. There's a ton of spinoff manga that's really interesting to read in the meantime, but like, welp.
I don't want to read the manga. I just want to watch it.
You're not a purist. What side are you on, sub or dub, Zach?
At this point, I don't really care. I prefer dubs just because I don't have to read as much. But
then watch the My Hero sub.
I don't need to, though.
Oh, there's a...
Whichever one I start with, I continue with.
There is a new idol anime that's coming out. Also involves the Yakuza. This is why I remember it. I can't remember what it's called. But these three lowly henchmen under the Yakuza... Lowly.
Okay.
They're men.
They're like low tier. L-O-W.
But here's what happens. their low henchmen on the scale get punished, and they have to go undercover for the Yakuza. So they get a sex change.
Oh my fucking Christ.
And then they have to train for 1 year to be musical idols so they can tour and commit crimes at the same time.
I fucking can't.
It is called, and I'm not shitting you.
Oh my god, is this the English translation?
Backstreet Girls.
Oh my god, no.
The title of the article talking about
No.
Yakuza men become trap idols. Traps. Backstreet Girls comedy manga gets a TV show.
Wait, that's not a trap. Oh no, okay, never mind. I'm not even going to get into that.
There's still men in that body.
Oh god. Jesus Christ, fucking Christ, no.
And it's being adapted into an anime.
No. There's so many things wrong.
What if you're a member of the Yakuza and your boss also happens to be an idol producer? What happens if he forces you, a guy, to dress up as a girl and become an idol? The manga follows three Yakuza underlings as they try to act like actual female idols. After being forced by their producer boss, of course, it follows them as they face the challenge of hiding their true selves and their ever-loving fans.
Good lord.
When does this premiere?
Can we just go back to Love Live, where it's just, you know, idol girls?
Excuse me? Idolmaster is so much better. Cinderella Girls.
Oh well, god, it's being labeled as a crime comedy.
Yeah.
A crime comedy idol series.
No. Oh my god.
They are given a choice, commit seppuku or undergo a sex change to become female idols. After a year of grueling training and medical procedures, the trio is ready to make their debut. But what if they become too popular?
Oh my god.
It is dark comedy.
I'm fucking done.
I also want to mention really quick, in Magical Girl
anime
Ore,
is trash and so are we.
The first Magical Girl turns into Magical Girl Eternal Dangerous Pretty, and then her friend becomes Magical Girl Everything Crazy Beauty.
I'm done. I'm out.
Sign me up.
Oh, is that it? Are we done?
Also, Magical Girl Ore is being animated by Studio Pierrot.
I don't know that one.
Bleach. Okay. Naruto. Yu Yu Hakusho. Tokyo Ghoul. Beelzebub. Great Teacher Onizuka. Oh, I remember one more terrible thing. God.
Please, no.
So, you know the anime, Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Yes.
There's now a porn parody.
Is it wrong to fuck girls in a dungeon?
Zach?
Wait, hold on. Is it wrong to fuck girls in their dungeon?
Zach?
I don't even know. I can't.
See, I'm really glad now.
I don't know how bad to make it.
Zach stayed with the Power Rangers topic, actually conversed with us.
I know. And now this is what I get. This is my reward.
Is it wrong filthy to finger girls in a dungeon?
Oh, sweet.
Damn, so close.
I'm done. I'm out.
I mean,
end it here.
Kind of close because, you know, I guess finger bang could be considered fucking.
And this came also from Reddit. So, you know, just take the news lightly, I guess. But thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast.
If you made it through the last, like, 5 minutes,
boom.
Okay.
I don't even know
this
what to say.
Is gold. Like, this is worth recording at 7 o'clock at night into 8 o'clock, almost 9.
It's almost 9.
This was amazing.
I sometimes like to forget that animes like these exist still. Just become utter filth.
If I were to turn into a buff magical girl, I wonder what my name would be.
And that's your dream,
and
isn't it?
In order for you to decide that, you can message us
at z2podcast.com/comment.
Or you can hit us up on Twitter and give us all magical girl names. Remember, in Magical Girl or Maho Soja Ore, we have...
You also did this to yourself by moving
Magical
Dragon
Girl,
Ball
Eternal
Super to the
Dangerous
end.
Pretty and Magical Girl Everything Crazy Beauty.
Because I didn't know we were going to go down this path.
You left zero stopping point after anime talk.
And
we could have stopped at AIs.
Could have.
AI. What does the A
I feel
stand
like, no,
for?
I feel like this still would have happened.
Artificial. What does the I stand for?
Intelligence.
What's the A stand for again? Shout out to you, Season 6 of Red versus Blue.
Season 1.
No, that was Caboose talking to
Wash.
No, that's
super fucking
annoying. Oh, yeah, that's Caboose talking to Church.
That was when and then they have these AIs in their head. Like, AI.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, thank you, guys. Emp is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. Be sure to give us magical girl names, and we will read your name for us live. Tim.
Tim, don't send it in the messenger chat. You send it to comments.
Use the thing.
You use it.
I really love Tim because it's just like, for people who know you well, you can tell Zach dies inside every time you bring up Power Rangers.
You don't even need to know us well. All you have to do is listen for the...
I'm trying to be trying to be more positive just in general. I'm at least entertaining you guys with it. Because, again, Hyperforce is enjoyable. I will say that.
I'm
just not going to get myself invested in this.
I'm going to go ahead and warn you now. Next week is going to be torture for you.
We're talking about Shattered Grid.
Oh, no.
Because next Wednesday, all the through summer. We're going to talk Metal. We're going to talk Doomsday Clock. And then we're going to talk Shattered Grid.
I don't want to find something. Problem is, I have nothing to bother you with until... you're going to probably play Cyberpunk, so I'll eventually be able to torture you guys with that in 2 years. Maybe, if I'm lucky. Beep.
So, you can also leave us a review. If you like us having like the news topics, or just going shit off the rails because it's late and I just keep remembering things.
It's hard to go keep doing.
I'm also at that point like I was in Minecraft yesterday where I'm just like, yeah, I'm done. Chaotic I'm going to start evil. Breaking windows, chaotic put a tree evil. Underneath Aaron's house. Just chaotic evil. Like
I'm still terrified there's something under my house.
But the thing is, the Jungle Book was in your house. That was it. But the thing is, my D&D character. My D&D character for this round is Lawful Good. Name for our show.
How?
I am Lawful Good.
Is it still the one you told me originally?
It has changed and developed beyond your knowledge.
Do you think in a certain situation your character might say nay?
Yes. It'll also go, hey.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
You're nice if we can get that started.
And if you look at a bunch of bales, you say, hey, bales.
So my character is partially inspired by Clip Clop the motorcycle horse. Let us never forget. It'll all be explained. But as I try to close out the show the third time. Why? Thank you guys for listening.
You know the drill. Reviews, comments.
If you give us comments, we'll read them. If you give us a review, we'll read them. We'll even talk to you.
Tim, use comments. Please use comments.
Because we forget the stuff you message us until the last minute like this. Mm-hmm. We love you, Tim. We want other people to love you. You should go check out Aggravated Art, by the way, on Instagram. He's really fantastic. Super cool dude. And with that, we bid you all adieu. Thank you for listening. Love you, Internet. Goodbye.
Good night. Or good day.
It's Marvel time!